I think we're all going to need to study this and discuss it, and I think we should possibly open up a discussion now about the central services side of this, which is essentially the most of the revenue side for the national office. We passed a formula which had, as I pointed out earlier, some errors. We passed a motion on the PNB that had some errors in it because I made an error in what I was reading from. But basically the percentage was accurate in what I was reading. And we've now had some, you know, we knew at the time when we passed it that we hadn't done the homework of comparing it to the revenue, both the revenue that we actually expect and then the revenue that we actually get and that difference. Anita, would you like to open up a conversation about that? I think Chris and Lyndon have also worked up some analyses of this question.
Yes, yeah, so let me get to the spreadsheet, if you will.
Let me just make sure if anybody else, while you do that, I'll just ask again if anybody has any other questions about this preliminary P&O budget.
R. Paul for a fast one.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. It's not in a template, I think. We've discussed this before. We are now getting, you know, different all sorts of different formats for what we get here. I wish it would be uniform again.
I think we can get there. I just don't think we can do it this year.
Right.
I agree with you.
I'm just saying I wish. Okay, thank you.
I will do it. I'll work on it. I wanted to, if I can take you to the spreadsheet that is called FY21 Central Service Calculation. And hopefully I'll give you time to find that. It's very small, if you will.
Is the file name copy of FY21 Central Services Calculation, 005?
I don't see that 005.
Yes, that's correct.
Did it go out at 7:38 p.m.? Maybe people can find it that way, Eastern time?
I think so. It was one of the later ones since I was waiting on a response.
No, we appreciate that. I said earlier, you know, if people are going to send us stuff, it's appreciated if they send it again right before the meeting starts, so it's easy to find. So I'm there. I don't know how everybody else is doing.
Hopefully you can find it. Again, it's just six line items, and it also one of the columns that C, it says gross revenue.
I see it.
Should we give them
Are there a couple of other people that confirm that they're on the same page?
I have it as copy of FY21, et cetera.
Okay, thank you.
Why don't you go ahead, Anita?
All right, thank you. Again, this calculation was worked on by Tamara. Again, what we did is came up with the gross revenue by station for October, November, and December of 20, of course. And we did that for every station. And you have the grand total, again, by quarter. And then you have any adjustments, if you will, that we needed to make to it. Again, adjustments were, in some cases, square footage or per month for air condition, if you will, for KPFK as an example. If you see where I'm at in less adjustments, the cell is right there, so it tells you we're taking that, as I mentioned, row 7 is an example. The 83809 times 3, if you will. Again, you really see it in, and I'll slow down, I promise, row 9, if you will, which that adjustment is 62,819, and that is also for a credit, if you will, for tower rent and office rent. And I'm assuming I can mention station names?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. And that is for WBAI, if you will. And then for WPFW, same thing, tower rent and office rent. Again, that would be on row 10, if you will. Just kind of walking you through so you'll understand where we're coming from. And that is the adjustments that we understood we need to incorporate there. Again,
Anita,
go ahead.
Fred here.
Yes.
The amount for KPFK is incorrect. It's too high. It's the entire electric bill. It's not. It should be a fraction of that for PRA.
Okay.
But it probably has a small effect for this spreadsheet.
Okay. But thank you for telling me. I'll flag it.
Fred, this is James. Is that about $1,000 a quarter?
No, it's about $1,000 a month.
A month, okay.
Okay. All right, column F, if you will, is just adding, subtracting that column to give us a grand total, if you will. And that's what that is doing there. And column H is taking column F and dividing it by 3 to get an average, if you will. And I will share with all of you, I generally do not get hoarse, but I had my second vaccine shot today. And unfortunately, I do have to be having some reaction to it, so...
Understood.
And again, column J, if you will, is where we took the 15%, if you will, of the central services costs, which would have been H6. So in other words, you see H, so it's first line item, row 6, so it's 15% of the $346,000. Now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to say, you have adjustments reduced for rent at each station, but we know not all of the stations pay rent. But a question did come up about part of rent that the stations who do pay rent, part of it covers their taxes because many of them are renting in buildings that pay taxes. So there was a suggestion that there should be a consideration for the taxes that some stations pay, even though we are a 501c3 educational charity. We do pay some taxes. Do you have any thoughts on that in terms of quote-unquote fairness?
Well, what I was going to say, that as I look at this from the big picture, if you will, I do realize that you have some major variances in the total. Again, column J is just for this quarter, if you will. So every quarter, depending on how revenue is going to fluctuate, so will that dollar amount, if in fact we are truing it up every quarter, if you will. But to answer to your question, James, from my perspective, I think the committee really needs to look at what that is doing for the overall central services dollar amount, and particularly for those that cannot pay it or have not been paying it. And as an example, line 7, if you will, KPFK. Again, my job is to point out, I feel, are things that are of a variance, not so much of the philosophical, if you will, or the fairness. But all I'm saying is I think the dollar amount currently that we are for central service is about $36,000. I don't have it in front of me, but if I remember correctly. And it jumps up to $40,000. Same thing for KPFA. That one has increased to $52,000. So my reluctance really to share with the committee today was only about because I wanted for you and Chris to be able to review it, discuss it, and one, just to make sure, was this the intention, if you will?
Yes, and I think it's safe to say that this was not the intention. And one of the reasons that this unintended consequence that we discussed earlier, Anita, came about was because in the previous situation, we were only dealing with fund drive income, and now we're dealing with all revenue, and all revenue last year was much higher than it is this year, especially in the area of major donations and bequests. We are way under what we were in the prior year in this area, and so that's going to cause a distortion, correct?
Correct.
So perhaps even though we thought we maybe had done something that would suffice with this, we may be seeing here that we have to revisit it.
That's correct. And I thought the committee at some point might want to address, and I think we discussed at one point, we may want to look also at the accruals that we continue to accumulate for the outstanding central services. In other words, for 2019 and 20, I mean, do we just continue to carry that debt forward and, you know, a receivable on one side and a payable on the other, and yet it never does materialize? And Chris, being an accountant, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Chris Corey for the staff.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, so not to direct everybody's attention away from the central services formula, but I think the most illustrative spreadsheet is probably the fiscal year 19 to fiscal year 21 Pacifica Station payments. It's a somewhat more complicated spreadsheet to read, but I can boil it down really quickly so that everybody can see what we're looking at here. I don't know if everybody has that spreadsheet available and up. But even if they don't, I can just give some general information and analysis on what's going on here and what the trends are. The trends
Chris,
are not
Chris,
good.
Chris, could I interject for a moment? Before everybody goes away from this spreadsheet, because it's taking us a while to get to the locations, can we finish with this one and then go to that one?
Absolutely. Yeah, just put me back on the stack and we move along to that one.
Absolutely. And I also wanted to say that you and I had a conversation, I think it was sometime fairly early last year, about, you know, it may be getting to be time where we need to, you know, wipe some of these underages, however you say it, start with a clean slate to some extent. And I think, you know, where I was going is we also have to somehow bring into consideration the ability to pay. I know that was something that you wanted to take out of the calculation, but it just keeps resulting in this same situation. And if, you know, perhaps as a way to balance it, to, you know, get the agreement to consider the station's ability to pay, we could be more strict with stations that expenses are exceeding their budget, to bring that in line, and then try to make some realistic adjustments also for ability to pay. You know, make some kind of a compromise in that area that everybody could agree on. Again, it goes back, unfortunately, it's you know, very difficult subject. It goes back to personnel costs at some of our stations that are in deficit. So I'm just putting that out there, that that's something we need to consider. Any further comment? Arnita, do you want to go on with this?
I think I had commented everything that I was going to talk about on that, James.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Chris, where did you want to take us?
If everybody can pull up the fiscal year 19 to fiscal year 21 Pacifica Station payments spreadsheet. It's a somewhat longer spreadsheet. It's got 3 years' worth of financial information on Central Services payment received and unpaid.
And is that, will people be able to find that in their email?
They should be able to. Yes, I did.
It was,
and how is it?
That I sent out today, James.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. It's relatively, can you, do you give us an estimate of when you sent it?
I want to say 7 Eastern time, but the label is Pacifica Station Payments FY 21, I believe. Let me close and reopen it. Yes, copy of FY 21 Central Services. And it opens up to the...
got it, yep.
You have a
7:17 p.m. Eastern time, for those who can find it easier that way.
Yeah.
Again, this is on the natfinance.com at groups.io.
I didn't actually receive my copy until 7:37, just FYI.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Just let me know when you want me to begin.
Can we get a, from the group, has, are people finding it? Anybody?
Is this, okay. The, I think, I don't know, I'm getting a little confused here. I thought I had it. I am looking right now at, at what I think Chris is referring to. It's, the file name is FY19-FY21 Pacifica Station Payments.xlsx.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, that is it. Okay. The other thing with copy of is the thing we were just talking about.
Correct.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
James, Fred here. I've got it open in my, on my computer.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, why don't you go ahead, Chris?
Okay. So I think what I want to point out here is that the overall trend is really poor. In fiscal year 2019, approximately 80% of central services were paid by the stations. That percentage dropped to 65% in fiscal year 20, which was problematic, to say the least. And I think people will recall that the ability of the national office to deal with exigent circumstances like lawsuits and other adverse actions to the organization dropped markedly during that period, to the point where national office was borrowing from various entities in order to meet those exigent expenses, like payroll shortfalls and things of that nature, which is why it's really important for stations to put their budgets in line so that they can actually meet these central services payments and to do whatever is necessary in order to do so. And do whatever is necessary to do so. But the situation is even more alarming in 2021. The amount paid is just a whisker over 30% now since the beginning of the fiscal year in 21. And at 31% approximately, the national office is continually running in deficit and unable to pay the payables, not only from the national offices, but certainly unable to greet any exigent circumstances that arise at the stations like KPFK. So it puts the entire network in distress to have such a low proportion of central services payments that are actually flowing through into the organization. We have to arrest this trend. And the only way I can think of to arrest it is to bring the station budgets into balance, and which is already part of the PNB reforms that took place over the last 12 months. So I think really we just have to follow the instructions of the PNB when it comes to this sort of thing and try and bring expenses and revenues into line with one another. Part of what was done with the central services formula was to credit the stations that have high overhead to give them a little bit more breathing room. But even with that, the stations that are running deficits, particularly those that have been running long-term deficits, are struggling to meet these central services payments to the point where the percentages are dropping to zero in a couple of cases for central services payments over the last 6 months. That's a very, very alarming trend, and it definitely is something that needs to be addressed. And, yeah, I'm not completely at a loss to figure it out, but like I say, we do have the PMB measures in place, suggestions, demands, if I can use that strong of a term, that the stations present budgets that would actually bring some of these deficits into line. I think what we need to remember here is that particularly KPFK, if we could get that station operating gainfully or at least close to gainfully, that a lot of the issues that we're having right now would go away because they are a very large contributor to central services, which Anita pointed out earlier, that when she pointed out the central services formula, not having that $40,000 a month from KPFK is, of course, a disaster. I'm just going to start repeating myself if I go on. So thank you.
James, this is Nick Arena for the staff.
Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
So I agree with Chris's points on this. And the need to address expense reductions, which is, and revenue issues with the stations that have struggled with making central services payments. But I also have to say the following, and perhaps it could be chalked up to new business for a future meeting, but I have served on this National Finance Committee for almost 6 years. And I have not seen the National Finance Committee nor the PNB deal seriously with other sources of income outside the station's ability to raise money to address the basic budget shortfalls that fall upon the Pacifica network. And case in point, the only time I've seen that somewhat addressed was during the time that Maxie Jackson was the executive director of the network, where he was going full steam at how to eliminate all the constraints that keep the network from receiving Corporation for Public Broadcasting grants. The math is simple. Pacifica Network struggled because of all the things that Chris has delineated based on the drop in revenue at the stations, which is true, but it's also suffered since 2013 from the fact that we haven't received one single nickel from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which basically constitutes the budget shortfall that Pacifica's had over the last, 8 years. And I've seen nothing come out of this committee, nor the PNB, that seriously addresses the fact that we need to have a plan of how, both on a budget standpoint, on a financial statement standpoint, and on a political lobbying standpoint, that we get money from CPB to cover the gap that the network's had for the last 8 years. And until we address outside sources of income, outside the stations themselves, we are going to be having the same conversations over and over again. So I'd really like to see some kind of task force group within this committee or within the PMB that firmly addresses how do we get CPB funding ASAP.
This is a chair. I'm going to comment on that. And I appreciate that remark, Nick, because I was thinking that same thing myself right before you spoke. And I want to say that the WBAI deficit over the last few years has been exactly the amount that we would have been having if we were still getting the central services grants. The community services grants. And, but as to whether we have a plan or not, I thought, my interpretation of what the plan was that we were going to go full steam and try to get our audits taken care of. And when I was on the audit committee a couple of years ago with Julie Hewitt, here now on the finance committee, I think we were four audits behind. We got to the point where we were one audit behind last year for a while. Now we're working on getting back to being one audit behind, and we're really hoping that we can get back to being caught up by June 30th at the end of this fiscal year. And if we can do that, then comes the question of getting some kind of a political solution, which would be needed, because once we're in compliance with CPB, we have to do it under the normal rules. We have to do it for a year before we're eligible for those community service grants again, and that's where political lobbying might come in, where we could try and get something out of the new administration to shorten that time period where we'd have to be in compliance. Could I ask Nick to come back to me on that, or anybody else who has any thoughts on that? That was my understanding of what the goal is on the PNB.
Well, can I just comment, James?
Of course, of course.
I don't know all the details of the work that's gone into it, and I'm not trying to chastise.
I didn't take it that way.
Any negative comments to it, but all I'm trying to say is that without a concerted effort towards this, I call it the pot of gold that we've been missing for the last 8 years, and trying to work on it on all fronts, including the political front. We need to address it, because the goalposts are going to keep moving year after year. If we keep depending on our ability to produce financial audits in the time frame in which we're required to do so, we are only addressing one aspect of our ability to attain these funds. I think we are better positioned now than we have been for the last 6 or 7 years of being able to use our political and social and economic influences to get some money in this upcoming fiscal 22 year. And some group of individuals need to make this their commitment to getting this done. Otherwise, we're going to just keep pushing this off another year, and we're never going to be any closer to our destination.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what Fred just said, but I think he's actually understating the matter by about a factor of three. And that is that if we had CPB funding available, my understanding is that it's approximately 10% on revenue. And our underpayment of central services for the last 3 years is approximately, well, let's just say 12%. of 1 year's revenues. In other words, if we have the CPB funding, the deficit would be more than covered. So I agree that if we could address this issue, nip it in the bud, that these problems and the very painful adjustments that we're talking about making would largely go away. Now, that isn't an excuse for stations to run massive deficits, of course. But it just points out the importance of getting this done and getting it done in a timely way. And I agree with you, James, if there's some way that we could expedite the funding, which I think might be possible under this administration, that would be an amazing achievement for this organization. In any case, we're talking about close to $1 million a year here if we could get this working. And, I mean, it's not – rocket science needs to be done. We should be able to get it done. And if we could, then we could stop having these incredibly difficult and painful conversations on the NFC. Thank you.
Anita,
thank you.
Back.
Go ahead, Anita.
I was just going to say I'd be happy to be on any committee to help you work with CPB.
Thank you very much. I'm going to jump on the stack now and say that, I agree with all of that. And I want to just add that it's not just the CPB grants, although that is a major, major piece of it. But we're not able to get other grants right now because of our financials not being in order. We're also, you know, some small donors check with things like Charity Navigator before they make a donation. So we could open up multiple sources of outside income if we can only get our financials in order. And I have a comment on that. We have for years had a tradition of having our own in-house accounting and business management function. And I think we're coming into a better situation now because that NEDA has been involved in helping us with that. And what we need to do, which we have done now at PFW and WBAI, we're getting a financial product that we can rely on. We can use it. And NEDA is providing that to us at a much reduced cost as to what it was when we were trying to do that for ourselves. So not only do we get a reliable product, and then we could have our audits on time, and we could then get these other outside sources of income. It's just a no-brainer. Some have suggested that NETA costs too much, but when you compare it to the losses, well, first of all, if we just compare it to the cost of our own business management, it's NETA does it for less. They produce a reliable product. Right now we've got bottlenecks where our audits get delayed because we don't get the information from the stations in a timely manner. If NEDA was in there getting the information as we went along, we wouldn't have that problem. And when you compare the cost of NEDA and you add in the cost, the huge cost of all this lost income, we can put a number, again, on the CPB money that's been lost, but we have no idea what the losses are in the wider world of grants that could be available to us that we're not getting. So that's, yeah, I don't want to repeat myself either, so that's enough. Anybody else on this?
James, I'd like Anita to comment, if you could, on what you just said, if you don't mind.
Sure, Anita.
And our poll later.
Hello.
Go ahead, Anita. Chris was asking you to comment on my soapbox speech I just made.
We looked into that back when Mr. Livingston first brought us on, and we compared the costs. And I want to say it was 600 and some thousand because you had, I don't remember, five or six people, but I still have a document somewhere that I could share. versus the cost that ETA provided for the contract, which is $330,000. And again, essentially, we were able to pick up all the work. I think the issue was, and we're almost there, but just not quite, is that we had no idea how behind this organization was. So it's taken us an incredible amount of time and staff to get there. But I think we're to a point. I've talked about putting together these Wednesday meetings where I would meet with all the business managers at the stations. My staff, like individuals that do HR, payroll, financials, what have you, to just have, even if it was just an hour call. We did do that in the past, and to me, they were productive. At least it got us to talking and to network, if you will, and for them to realize, and for us also to realize what kept them from sending us the information on a timely basis, because we're not at the station. But also it allowed them, we exchanged information, just like this month in close. We missed it by a mile. I still am going to have that conversation to say, what prevents you from doing this? And I realize that at a station there's a lot of other things, that different hats that individuals wear. But it certainly gives us a different appreciation also for it. But again, you know, NETA, all of you know, we have, I assume you do, we have a lot of clients. I, quite frankly, am the person that does that marketing to bring them in. I have a staff of almost 40 people right now, but we also have more than 50 clients, if you will. So we're divided. I have a lot of CMAs, CPAs on staff. I've got the ability to prioritize the work, and quite frankly, that is one of the reasons that we have started on 2020 reconciling the intercompany accounts. Anything that we touch during the year, I think, is going to go pretty smooth. What is probably going to take us a while is going to be the information that business managers are supplying to us or they don't supply it. Give you an example, bank reconciliations. For most cases, they are doing them. But not all of them. We do the two stations that we work with. So we'd like to, quite frankly, at some point in conversation with you and the chair, is to be able to move forward and put some really strong processes, some time frames in line. Not that they're dead certain, but at least it gives us all some parameters to work around, if you will.
Thank you, Anita. I have our Paul on the stack, but we are approaching our time certain, and I would like to end this in an orderly fashion. I'm going to ask if we could extend for 5 minutes just so we can be sure to do this orderly. I'm going to move to extend 5 minutes.
I'd like to
go ahead.
10 minutes.
Okay.
So moved.
Any objection? Okay, I'm going to request that be 10 minutes from our from our time certain. Okay. No objection? Good. Okay, go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. All right. My very fast question is, in our last thrill-packed episode of this meeting, you said that the audits were with the auditors. We're going to the auditors that week. They have them now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they've got them, and now you're starting to work on the FY20?
Well, they're working on 2019. We are looking at all our schedules, trying to make sure that we have reconciled things on our end from the national side.
Okay, so you're not... Nita isn't working on FY20 just yet.
But we are on some recons.
Okay, to some degree you are. All right. All right, thank you.
minutes, anything like that that we can pull together. So in the auditors, we did have a call with them. They're well aware of the urgency for all of this.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Is there anybody else on this subject? And Anita, were you able to conclude your remarks to your
yes.
satisfaction?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else on this topic? Hearing none, I'm going to suggest that we go on now to item number 8, which is report from the stations on the budget timeline progress. We have KPFK and KPFT.
James, this
anybody
is,
have anything new from – hello?
Sorry to interrupt you. James, this is Chris. I just have a question on the national office budget. We're not attempting to pass that tonight, I guess. Is that correct? This was just a review
of
it?
Oh, no. No, yeah, this was just a review.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear earlier.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
In fact, I did make it clear to some people on phone calls. I probably didn't. I didn't speak to you earlier, so we didn't get a chance. Okay. We were not going to attempt to pass it tonight, and we would, I think, like to have Lydia weigh in on it as well. Okay. So let's. If there are no other questions, we'll move on to the budget timeline progress from KPFK.
Fred here. There's been no change in the budget at KPFK. No additional work on it at this point.
Understood. So we're rapidly coming to a point where, when this committee runs out of things to do, but also because of the large deficits we're having at KPFK, the PMB is already talking about what we can do about that. So we may have to step in to that situation.
Mr. Chair, may I comment on that?
Yes, please, Anita.
NEL did reach out to us. We do have a call scheduled for Thursday.
Yes.
At 2 o'clock. From my understanding, one of the line items that he wanted to cover was how we could help to bring closure to it.
Yes.
Anita, would it be appropriate for... myself as treasurer to be on that call?
Sure. I think there's a meeting also, kind of doing some prep work for the LSB finance meeting on March 14th also. Yes, to answer your question, would be.
Thank you. I'll arrange with you offline how I should participate.
Okay. Beth, did you want to say anything about KPFK, or are you okay with how we are?
I don't think I have anything new to add.
I understand.
I'm familiar with the situation and as frustrated as anyone.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're going to go to KPFT, and I want to comment before we do, before we jump into it, that I sent a letter of introduction to David Bays from the committee. I don't know how many people may have seen it, but, you know, part of that was to urge him, you know, it was kind of a fluff thing, you know, welcome to Pacifica and some background about what the National Finance Committee does. But it was also a gentle nudge to him, that, you know, as soon as he gets settled, to get us a budget as soon as possible. And he responded that he had already sent a budget to the executive director, which bypassed the finance committee in Texas, which, you know, previously has been somewhat broken down in its ability to produce a budget. And so I was, I hope that that didn't come as a surprise. I did get a chance to talk to a couple of people from Texas about that. But I understood that it did come as a surprise to some of them. So I just wanted to hope that you'll address that question as well. Anybody from KPFT?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, okay. Yes.
Okay. I had sent a letter to our new general manager on the around the 26th, and then another one around the 28th, saying to get with Lyndon and also get with Markeisha about our business manager about a budget. And we had received a budget. When was that? Back in I can't remember. Maybe you can remember it, Lyndon. Anyway, that budget had no items for repair of the building, and so I expected that when the general manager got back with me. On the LSB meeting, on our last LSB meeting, he made a statement that he had gotten with the business manager and the budget was fine. So I had not seen a copy of that. Evidently, it's the same budget that we were given last fall, I guess, in September. In September, we got it. Anita, do you have a copy of the KPFT budget? Was one given to you by Lydia?
No, but I just received one. I think it was the one you sent me today. I'm looking at it now.
That is what we were given in September, and I'm assuming from an email that I just received from Markeisha, because I sent an email to our general manager today saying, you know, you never did get back with me about producing a budget, and I need to present one to the finance committee. So Markeisha sent me an email back, and obviously the one that you have is it.
Okay.
I know that our new general manager has told us that he has negotiated some reductions in some of our expenses. So if it's the same, then it does not reflect what he has done to reduce some of our expenses. And I would really like to be able to work with our general manager and understand that budget and know that it is up to date. That's where we stand. So I'd love to know what you think about that, Anita, when you look it over.
All right. Thank you. I will provide you some feedback on it.
Thank you.
This is the chair. I'll say that we don't know whether whatever it was that David forwarded to Lydia was different from what you're talking about, Teresa. And, of course, that's something we're going to want to find out as soon as possible. And you know, perhaps we could get him to forward that to us, copy us on that, and then we can see if that's a place where we could jump off from to arrive at something for KPFT. And
another thing I noticed was that it did not include any bids to make any repairs to the building, and we're being told that we can't go. You know, from our last general manager, we were told we could not go into the building because of mold. But I would have expected to at least maybe see some anticipated expenses to, you know, repair the roof if needed, if that's what's causing the mold, a leak in the roof or from a leak in a furnace or something like that. But there did not seem to be any of those things in the budget last September. So I don't know whether that means we've totally given up on our building and that we will never conduct business from that building or not. But I would at least like to have a conversation about it and see some estimates for what it would cost to repair.
That's understood, and I hope you'll make some notes about that so that we can pass that around. I'm requesting that we get some photography, maybe some videos down there about the condition of the building. We understand there has been some further deterioration in the building over the time that it's been closed. So we need to get on the PNB, we need to get some updates on the condition of the building with some actual photographic evidence so we can see for ourselves what's being described to us verbally.
And I have asked that we convene our finance committee meeting. It was supposed to be convened by our former chair, Adriana Casanave. I have not seen it on the calendar yet. Our chair has asked her to convene the finance committee. One other question I had for Anita. Anita, have you seen any of the things from the director's inspection yet?
No, but Markeisha and I did talk. We divided the list. So we'll touch base next week. But, yes, we have connected.
Okay, it's due by the 2nd or the 3rd, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
We are out of time now. I just want to ask one final question to our Paul.
Could I ask a very fast question?
Yes, please.
Okay, I understand, the building is falling apart. I've been through that. Now, we know that it had mold problems. With the recent stuff that's just happened, do you know if there's been any further damage to the building?
We do have reports of further damage, yes.
All right, so it'll be even worse than what had been thought. Okay,
well,
thank you.
It was a broken window. There was a broken window. And I believe that someone turned off the water and stole the water heater.
And you know what that means when that starts to happen to buildings that are closed up. People are noticing that it's closed up and it's being preyed upon. So we...
And
we need to deal with that.
Our general manager has taken the steps to prevent that, and the local police are aware of that and are keeping an eye on that property.
Yes.
Well,
and our Paul, I had a procedural question for you. If a committee does not convene, if a former chair does not convene a committee at the start of a new session. Can any member of the committee convene a meeting? How is that parliamentary procedure-wise?
We're talking about a local finance committee, and it's really up to the LSB what to do about that.
Thank you. So, Teresa, maybe you can take that back to your LSB.
I don't know what sort of enabling motions they have for their committee. They might have some contingency plan in there for this. I don't know.
Understood.
Well, I'll just be eager to see Anita's reactions to that budget, because I would think that as we look at possible reductions in some of our expenses from September and some of increases in some of our expenses, that it will need to be tweaked. And whether or not she wants to do that directly with the general manager, since he thinks that it should go through Lydia rather than us, I'm just waiting to see, because we're here to serve. Just put us to work, you know.
Well, let me just say that here at the National Finance Committee, we still have the KPFA budget to look at, which perhaps we'll do next time. If we're not ready to move with the national office, apparently now we're reopening the question of the central services and its relation to the national office budget. We still have the PRA to do, so and then we have KPFT to do. So it's not like we need this immediately, but we can, when it comes down to it, we can jump over the LSB and just deal with whatever we get as per that motion that we had in the PNB about, stations don't provide a budget within 2 weeks. That was months ago. So we are authorized to do that. And I think that's happened over the years, and it happened this year with WBAI. WBAI's LSB decided to do something else on the night that we were supposed to review the budget. So the chair of the finance committee just sent it on to the PNB. And that's an acceptable thing to do. So you know, there are ways that we can deal with it, even if the PMB does not decide, or rather the LSB does not decide to convene and approve something. Okay,
yeah,
is there...
That's different.
Yeah, I understand.
You asked me about what they can do at the LFC, local finance
yes.
level, and I said it. But yeah.
Oh,
course,
yes,
it,
yes.
That's something else, yeah.
Absolutely, I do understand. But thank you for pointing that out. Okay, we only have unfinished business and new business, but as far as I know, we don't have any at this time. So if there's no objection, I think we can say we're adjourned.
I move
hearing
that we
none?
We're adjourned.
Oh,
we're
very
adjourned.
Good. Well, we're at time certain. Once you go past time certain, the chair just declares that we're adjourned. So I appreciate that. Okay.
Thank
well, thank you all. Welcome to the new members. And thank
yes,
you for the
members.
Older members.
Oh, Beth, did you get your invitation yet? Oh, I think it's all ended.
She may have gone. Yeah.
All right. I'll try.
Good night.
Sorry, I was muted. I was muted. I just checked, and I don't see it yet. But
I'll send you another one.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And if I might request, I don't have the documents that we've been looking at tonight. Is there a way to get them?
Thank you. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Anita, and thank everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
See you all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.